The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're taking a look inside the mind of, well, a real titan of output, Stephen King, specifically his book on writing, A Memoir of the Craft.
Yeah, and this one, it's really so much more than just, you know, a how-to for writers.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission here for you listening is to really pull out King's hard-won lessons about discipline, about clarity.
That's
We're kind of dismantling that myth that you need some sort of special genius to do great work. King shows us it's about consistency, simple tools, and this almost like blue-collar approach.
Which is so valuable, whether you're writing a novel or honestly just an important email.
Exactly.
I found that whole perspective really refreshing. I mean, here's this guy who sold, what, 350 million books?
Mm-hmm.
At least. And he's basically saying, look, it's about the work ethic. In today's world, with so much noise, his advice on clarity and just showing up feels super relevant. We want to see how the king of horror can actually teach all of us to communicate better. More powerfully.
Okay, so let's start with the man himself, Stephen Edwin King.
Mm.
Over 60 novels, huge success. But his authority, it doesn't come from like an academic background.
No, not at all.
It comes from the sheer fact that he's done it consistently.
Yeah.
For over 40 years. He's a master storyteller, sure, horror, fantasy, crime, all sorts of stuff. But fundamentally, he thinks of himself as a working writer.
And that blue-collar thing you mentioned, that's really key, isn't it? He's not giving you theory. He's showing you the tools he actually uses, like, every single day.
Right. And his background, you know, it wasn't privileged. Working-class roots, dealt with poverty, and famously, a really serious struggle with addiction back in the 80s.
That context is important.
It really is.
Yeah.
And what gives the book this extra layer, this real emotional punch, is when he wrote a lot of it. Especially the end part, the postscript. It was after that horrible accident in 1999 where he nearly died.
Yeah, I remember that.
He was badly injured.
Yeah.
And getting back to writing, to that routine, it became less about a job and more about, well, survival.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. That history, that resilience.
Mm-hmm.
It gives his advice a weight you don't often find.
It really does. It turns it from just how to write into something more like, how do you structure to deal with chaos? Okay, so let's dig into the book itself. On writing. What's the main idea?
The core argument is actually beautifully simple. It's that writing is a craft, something you can discover, something you can learn, mainly through discipline.
Not magic.
Not magic, not waiting for lightning to strike. He really pushes back against this idea that creativity is passive. For King, it's active, focused work.
And the book's structure kind of mirrors that, right? It's got two distinct parts.
Exactly. The first half is the memoir part. He calls it his CV, his resume.
Mm.
It covers his childhood, finding stories, all the rejection, how his wife Tabitha was so important, the addiction. It lays the groundwork. Life feeds the writing.
Mm-hmm. Your experiences are the source material.
And then bam, the second half is the toolbox, the masterclass.
Yeah.
This is where you get the practical stuff, mechanics, style tips, how to revise, why routine matters.
Shows the life story and the toolkit.
Yeah. And by putting them together, he tackles that big problem so many creative people face.
Mm.
This feeling that you need some special, unattainable gift. He just demystifies it, makes it seem achievable through effort,
yeah.
Consistent effort.
That effort really is the thread, isn't it? Even from his earliest days, those anecdotes about rejection.
Yeah.
Wow. That famous rejection nail.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great image, right?
Yeah.
Young writer sending stories out, getting rejected over and over. He doesn't just toss the slips. He hammers them onto a nail on his wall.
Builds a monument to failure, almost.
And when the nail gets too full, he gets a bigger spike.
Yeah.
It's about facing the failure, measuring it, and then just showing up again tomorrow. That's lesson one.
But even that determination needed a nudge sometimes. The story of Carrie is amazing. He literally threw the first few pages in the bin.
He did. Thought it was junk. But his wife, Tabitha, fished it out.
Thank goodness for Tabitha.
Seriously. She saw something there, told him to keep going, which highlights, yeah, persistence, but also needing that ideal reader, someone you trust who can see potential when you can't.
Okay, so moving into the process itself, King's approach to plotting, or rather not plotting, that surprised me. This whole idea of the story as a found object.
Yeah, it's pretty central to his philosophy. He doesn't do intricate outlines. He thinks of stories like fossils buried in the ground, complete, already existing.
And the writer's job is?
To dig it up, carefully, excavate it. He starts with a situation, often a what-if question, and then lets the characters kind of take over and drive things forward. It's discovery, not invention.
Okay, but hang on. For people listening who aren't writing fiction, maybe they're doing reports, presentations, technical stuff. Isn't that approach a bit risky? Don't you need a plan for that kind of writing?
That's a fair point, and it's about where you apply the principle. King's talk about generating that first draft, getting the raw material down without overthinking. Even in business writing, you need that initial burst to get ideas on paper, right? That's your excavation.
Ah, okay. So it's about avoiding getting stuck before you even start.
Exactly. Don't let the planning paralyze you. Find out what the story or the data or the argument is first. You shape it later. And that leads right into his toolbox, which is all about making the message clear once you've found it.
The transfer of thought, what he calls telepathy.
Precisely. Writing, for King, is just pure thought transfer. You have an idea, an image in your head. Your job is to use the tools of language to recreate that exact idea in the reader's mind. Simple as that.
So all the rules, the grammar stuff, it's all in service of that clarity.
Yep. Unbroken clarity, which means waging war on weak language. And that brings us to his two most famous, maybe infamous, rules. First, his absolute disdain for the passive voice.
Right. He really hates it.
He calls it timid, weak, because it often hides who's doing the action. He's all about the active voice. It's direct. It's strong. Instead of mistakes were made, it's we made mistakes.
Keeps the energy up. I actually tried editing a report last week with that in mind, just flipping passive to active.
Yeah.
It honestly made a huge difference. Everything felt punchier, clearer about who did what.
See? It works. And then there's the big one, the warning about adverbs.
Ah, yes. The road to hell is paved with adverbs. Everyone knows that one.
Huh, yeah. He argues those and we words quickly, angrily, sadly. They're mostly just lazy writing, a crutch.
Because the verb should do the work.
Exactly. If you have to say someone walked quickly, maybe you just need a better verb like hurried or dashed. Strong verbs in good context should show the feeling. Adverbs often just tell and they dilute the impact.
Okay, so strong tools, but tools are useless without the workshop, right? The routine.
Yeah.
King is absolutely relentless about discipline.
Oh, completely. He stresses having a set routine, a daily word count goal. His is famously 2,000 words a day, every day. And maybe the most important symbol, a dedicated workspace with a door you can close.
You close door.
It's not just literal. It's about creating that boundary, that focus needed for real deep work. He really believes consistency trumps everything. Showing up every day is way more productive than waiting for some magical burst of inspiration that might never come.
So you get that first draft done, fast, messy, door closed, high momentum. Then what? The crucial step, revision.
Right. And his advice here is key. Let it rest. Put the draft away for a while. At least 6 weeks, he suggests, if you can manage it.
6 weeks. Wow. Why so long?
You need distance, psychological distance, to come back to it with fresh eyes, with objectivity. That's when you do the second draft.
Yeah.
And this time he says the door is open. You bring in your ideal reader. You apply that critical thinking.
And that's when you have to be brutal. That's where kill your darlings comes in.
Mm-hmm. It's probably his most quoted advice on editing. And it's hard. It means cutting those sentences you love, those scenes you crafted so carefully, maybe even characters if they don't actually serve the story.
Ouch. Hurts the ego.
Totally. Breaks the egocentric little scribbler's heart, as he puts it. But the reader comes first. Always.
And the most powerful example of this whole process, the discipline, the return, it's right there in the postscript about recovering from the 1999 accident.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
His intense need to get back to that writing desk, that routine, even while in immense pain, it showed that the discipline wasn't just professional habit. It was like a fundamental way of coping, of imposing some kind of order when his world had been shattered.
It ties the craft to survival, almost. Okay, so let's boil this down. If you're listening, what are the core takeaways you can use no matter what you do?
Okay, three big ones. First, reading is the non-negotiable foundation. King is emphatic. If you don't read, you can't write well, period.
So a reflection video. How can you start reading more actively? Not just for pleasure, but noticing how people in your field or people you admire communicate effectively. What techniques are these?
We talked about just showing up consistently, even for a little bit each day, builds momentum and skill far better than waiting for genius to strike.
Right. So reflection two, can you pick one skill you want to improve? Could be anything, work related or personal, and commit to just say 15 minutes of focused practice every single day. No excuses.
And third, clarity and simplicity are key. Remember that telepathy idea. Communication fails if the message doesn't land cleanly. Aim to be understood, not to impress.
Yeah. So final reflection. Next time you write something important, an email, a report, a presentation, ask yourself, am I making this as clear and simple as possible for my audience? Or am I hiding behind jargon or complexity?
King's way of putting things is just so punchy. He gives you these lines that stick with you, like the most basic truth. If you want to be a writer, you must do two things above all others. Read a lot and write a lot. Simple as that. No shortcuts.
Or this one about the power of the work itself. Writing is not life, but I think that sometimes it can be a way back to life. That really hits home after knowing about his accident.
It does. And the editor's painful mantra, which applies to so much more than writing. Kill your darlings, kill your darlings. We all have favorite ideas or phrases that just don't serve the purpose.
Yeah, gotta let them go sometimes. And finally, just the sheer joy of it. Books are a uniquely portable magic. You gotta love that.
Okay, let's make this super practical. How can you, listening right now, apply these ideas from a master fiction writer to your everyday, maybe nonfiction life? Let's start with just professional communication, emails, reports.
Okay, easy win. Implement the no-fluff rule starting today. Go through your drafts, hunt down the passive voice, switch it to active. Look for those Billy adverbs. Can you replace them with a stronger verb or just cut them? Aim for King's idea of telepathy, making sure your thought lands perfectly clear in the other person's head. Good one. What about bigger things? Project management, maybe planning a strategy.
Use the two-draft process. Seriously, allow yourself a messy first draft for any big project or proposal. Get all the ideas down fast, door closed, no judgment. Then, and this is a crucial step away, give it that rest period, even if it's just overnight or for a weekend.
Gain some distance.
Exactly. Then come back with fresh eyes for the door open revision. That's when you structure it, refine it, and ruthlessly kill your darlings. Cut anything that doesn't directly support the main goal. It reduces that pressure to be perfect right out of the gate.
I like that, less pressure. And finally, just building habits or maybe building resilience.
Adopt the discipline model. King's consistency is legendary for a reason. Set that small, achievable daily goal for whatever skill you want to build. Want to learn coding? Code for 20 minutes a day. Want to get fit? Walk for 30 minutes a day. Consistency, King shows us, is far more powerful than occasional heroic efforts.
You know, thinking about all this, the most surprising thing for me really is how simple his core tools are. Like, arguably the most successful writer alive is telling us it boils down to basic vocabulary, basic grammar, and just showing up.
Right. No secret formulas.
It suggests that mastery isn't about complexity. It's about nailing the fundamentals day in, day out.
Yeah. And for me, I think the thing that sticks is that deep link he makes between the work, the craft, and, well, survival. The way writing became his lifeline after the accident. It makes the discipline feel less like a chore and more like a necessary anchor.
A way to impose order.
Exactly. The ultimate message feels like good work, powerful work. It is achievable. It's built on discipline, clarity, and showing up. And maybe that discipline isn't just about output. Maybe it's fundamental to, you know, navigating life itself.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.